Hi everyone, this is Jim Armstrong, and today we are covering Module 6, the World Class Installation System Part 2, the marketing. And we're going to be covering several strategies today, and in just a little while we're going to bring on Nathan Schlesner to talk about some of the strategies he's using, including the credit letter strategy, and he'll be coming on in just a little while. So let's just go ahead and dig in. The strategies we're going to be covering today are the design audit, the shock and awe campaign, the reticular activator, and the referral request form. Let's start with the design audit. The purpose of the design audit, it actually accomplishes several really important things. When your clients are coming in to your store, you know, they're expecting the same old thing that they've gotten from perhaps any other flooring dealers they've happened to visit. And what's really great about the design audit is right off the bat, it allows you to, first of all, position yourself as a trusted advisor. So you're really not coming across like a salesman or like a used car salesman, something like that. You're really coming across more like a counselor, a family doctor, or a family accountant, or something like that. It also completely sets you apart because none of your competitors, nobody is going to be doing this kind of a process with them. It reduces price resistance. It increases your closed sale batting average, and it creates an experience. And you know, we've been talking about marketing to high-end clients and the affluent, and this is the kind of thing that creates that experience where they're, you know, people feel special, they feel like they're really being treated well, and these kinds of things are what are going to really help you as you market, you know, for more high-end types of jobs. During the design audit, when somebody walks into the store, I recommend always handing them a laminated beverage menu. Offer them something to drink. The hospitality factor is big. One of the things I also recommend is investing in a fully stocked mini beverage bar where you've got sodas and water and gourmet coffee and that sort of thing. That's a big wow factor if you do that. Another tip is investing in an oven where you can bake every day. You can bake cookies or bread each morning. That, you know, is going to fill your store with the aroma of these freshly baked goodies. Makes it feel like home. You offer them that. The hospitality factor is huge. And anybody that walks into a Home Depot or Lowe's and then comes to your store, I mean, these, you know, the big boxes are certainly never going to do this, and the smaller dealers aren't really going to do this either. Chiropractors, doctors, even some dentists do this to make their patients feel more relaxed, more at home. Realtors have been doing this strategy for years. When they do an open house, the savvy ones recommend that, you know, if you're trying to sell your home, have some cookies that you've just baked so it fills the home with that smell. And this is a great opportunity. I talk a lot about borrowing from other industries and using those strategies in your own industry. And, well, this is a great opportunity to do that because nobody in the flooring industry, or very few people, are going to be doing anything like this. So it's a real good way, easy way to set yourself apart. In the design audit, you're going to be finding out things that are going to help you close that sale. Now, it's not going to feel like that to the client. You know, as far as they're concerned, it feels more like a diagnostic type of thing where you're trying to meet their needs and find the best product for their unique situation. And that's absolutely true. That is what the design audit is doing. But the other thing that's happening is you are asking them a series of questions that essentially gets the client or the prospect to paint a target on themselves, is what I call it. And the first question, one of the most important, is the what's important to you I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. What's important about new floor covering to you? First question. And speaking of first questions, it's on the first page of the design audit, you're going to notice that there, you know, you've got the name, address, phone number, email, birth date, all those kinds of things. I don't recommend that you start with those questions other than their name. Don't dive right into the design audit and say, you know, somebody walks into your store and you are doing the design audit with them, and you start off by saying, okay, what's your address, what's your phone number, what's your email, what's your birthday? Don't start with those questions. Just get their name, then go through the entire process, all the pages of the design audit. Then after you've developed the rapport, that trust, like Bob Berg was saying on yesterday's call, they know you, like you, and trust you, then go back and get the rest of that information. By doing that way, you're going to find that they're very willing, very comfortable with giving you the rest of that information. But the first question, what's important about new floor covering to you? And if a couple comes in, ask the lady first, ask her husband, because they may come up with they may have two different things. And this is a flooring, obviously, is a big ticket item. It's the single biggest investment most people will ever make on their interior decorating in many cases. And so when they come in and perhaps they have different ideas, well, I've certainly done this before. You kind of wind up playing marriage counselor a little bit, especially if they've got totally different ideas on what they want. And you can go through and say, okay, well, you're wanting this. This is what's important to you. This is what's important to you, and it might be two different things. So, you know, you can save a lot of time and a lot of stress by asking that first. It also is so powerful in finding out what it is that they want, painting that target on themselves. Okay. Next is more of the diagnostic part of the design audit. You've got level of traffic. You know, does anyone in your home have allergies? There's just different things that are going to allow you to make those best professional recommendations. In the maintenance section, you're going to find out what did they do to maintain their flooring. And especially in the area of carpeting, you know, if they never vacuum and they never have it cleaned, you can then educate them on why maintenance is so important and give them realistic expectations for when they buy your carpeting, for instance. You know, it doesn't matter if they buy top of the line, the most expensive, best carpet that you have in your store, if they don't maintain it. And you can tell them that and be very honest with them. Say, you know, if you continue with the maintenance plan that you've had, well, even with the best carpet, you're going to really limit its life, and what we want to do is make sure that you get the longest life out of your investment. And people really appreciate and respect that level of honesty. You know, some less scrupulous or less knowledgeable salespeople, you know, would make it sound like all flooring is bulletproof. You know, the dirt's going to hover over it and never get down into the fibers or get down into the cracks and so forth. And you don't want to do that. You want to give them very realistic expectations. Other questions like, what do you like about your flooring that you currently have, and what do you dislike? So you can find out, you know, what kind of challenges and problems they're having. What are your expectations for new flooring? And that's a big one, because let's say, you know, a good example is they want Berber carpet and they want completely invisible seams. Well, that's your chance to explain that, you know, with low pile carpet, seams are a little more difficult to hide and we can't always make them invisible, even though we'll do the best we can. Now, you tell someone that beforehand, and you are managing expectations. But if you tell them afterwards, after the flooring's installed, then you're making excuses. And I know everybody listening to this knows that, but I want to reiterate it and making this part of that diagnostic process of the design audit makes all these things that you're telling the person, managing expectations, it makes them accept it a lot better than if you're just, you know, doing it after the job or beforehand just throwing things out there, no process of any kind. Ask if there's anything they're especially concerned with. Now, very few dealers are going to do this. You know, that way you can know ahead of time what their concerns are. This is a big event. You know, everybody on this call is around flooring. You see it every day. You're used to it, but your clients aren't. And always remember that you're not your client. And this is a big, big deal for them. You know, it's disruptive. Their furniture's being moved. They're having to be out of their house. They're spending a lot of money. Your job then is to calm the nervousness or the concerns. And again, nobody else is gonna take the time to do this. Next part is, have you ever had floor covering installed before? What did you like about the experience? What did you dislike about the experience? Again, you're just going to get a lot of information that's going to really help you close that sale and give them good guidance. And this question here is, we talk about painting letting the client paint a target on themselves. This one really does that. And it's, what can we do to exceed your expectations? Now, when your client tells you that, the answer to that question, they've basically just handed you the keys to the sale. And at the same time, I mean, think of the emotional impact that's going to have, especially if this is somebody who's new and perhaps has gone around and visited some other stores and so forth. And here they do. They sit down with you, and you've gone through all these questions, and they ask, you or your sales team ask them, what can we do to exceed your expectations? That's huge. Don't underestimate that. Now, you're also going to have the chance with the design audit to do upsells that don't feel like upsells. And you're going to be asking about other decorating and remodeling needs. Perhaps they need a remodeling contractor. And, you know, all of us know that contractors have horrible reputations for customer service. They don't show up. They don't call. Everybody has a contractor type of nightmare or story. So use that. Use your contacts, the people that, if you don't happen to do whatever remodeling they need, perhaps they need a new bathroom remodel as part of the overall remodel of their home, and they're seeing you about the flooring. Well, if your store doesn't happen to handle the remodeling, well, have contractors that you find reliable to be able to refer to them. I mean, what an amazing thing to be able to say to somebody, hey, you know, we all have had problems with contractors and so forth. Here is somebody that you can really count on. And then it also helps with future sales, because if you find out down the road they're doing a room addition or, you know, something like that, or they're going to be doing another room that they're remodeling, well, then you can put in your calendar to follow up with them in 3 months or 6 months or a year and find out if they're still moving forward with it, and you can get that job as well. Not only will you get extra sales, but, I mean, think about the professionalism. Here's a flooring dealer that listened and cared so much that 6 months later, when you told them that you're starting a new project, somebody from your store calls them and says, hey, you know, just following up with you, finding out if you're still going to be doing that remodeling job, and if so, you know, we'd love to help you out with that. Finding out how long they're going to be in the home is another question. Again, it just allows you to give good recommendations. You know, if they're moving out in a year, I'm going to sell the home, you know, perhaps paying for the some sort of an extended warranty of some kind is not really a good idea for them. And you can be very honest with them, and they're going to appreciate that, you know, that you're not just trying to sell them something to get the highest ticket possible, something that they don't need. Now, don't misunderstand, I'm all about getting the highest ticket possible, but doing it in looking out for the client's needs. So I think everybody on the call understands that. And then finally is the prescription or the written maintenance plan. I'm not going to go into this in great detail other than to say two things. First of all, many times this portion of the design audit is going to be done in the home. So in other words, you'll do the first part of the design audit in the store, and then when you do the in-home visit, you know, you write out the prescription. That's the first thing, and this works really well. In fact, the design audit works great if you're doing some sort of a mobile showroom service as part of your business. The whole thing is great. You just go in and you sit down with them at their kitchen table and go through the whole thing. The second thing is don't hand out pre-printed maintenance brochures. I've seen them before. They look slick. They're nice. That's fine. But when you went to a doctor, when was the last time the doctor handed you a pre-printed prescription, you know, that he hands to all the patients? It just doesn't happen. He writes out a customized prescription for your unique need. And you want to do the same thing. Even if you wind up writing the same prescription, you know, and it's going to happen a lot, the maintenance recommendations are going to be probably the same for 80% of your clients. Doesn't matter. Write it out. It positions yourself again as that trusted advisor. Much better way to go than handing out the pre-printed ones. Okay, let's move on to the shock and awe campaign. Basically, the way this works is if you've got somebody that comes into your store, there is a cost for getting them there. Now, whether it's the marketing that you did to get them into the store, whether it's just the cost of the overhead of paying a salesperson, your admin staff to be there to help them, there's always a cost for every single person that comes into your store. I don't care the situation, you've incurred a cost. So if somebody leaves without purchasing, they're walking out with having cost you that much money, whatever it was. And I'll give you one quick example. You know, sometimes dealers will do the special private sales or a weekend event, and a lot of times the cost to get somebody to walk in on one of those can range from $100 to $600 per walk-in. That's not per sale, that's for everybody that comes in the door. So the idea with the shock and awe is to take these people who walk out and you haven't cinched the deal with them, and to get them to come back to your store, choose your store, pay your prices, and regardless of what the guy down the street is charging, and it creates that experience that we were talking about, you know, going for those high-end jobs, really helps clinch the deal on those. So it's got a huge wow factor to it, knocks fence sitters off the fence, keeps prospects thinking about your store until they decide that they want to buy, and it compels people to come to your store, and absolutely none of your competitors are going to do anything like this. It also makes use of lumpy, bumpy stealth mailers. Now, everyone on the call should know that a stealth mailer is any kind of mailer you send out that has absolutely nothing regarding your business on it. It looks very personal. No business name, no business address, or if you do put a return address, it's just the address, no business name. And lumpy and bumpy. This is a strategy that has a huge, it takes advantage of people's, you know, the curiosity factor. You get a letter in the mail with no business name on it, that creates curiosity. But if it's got something lumpy and bumpy in it, well, you're going to put that at the top of your mail pile. In fact, you might even open it while you're standing there at the mailbox. So that's what this strategy takes advantage of. So, first of all, you've got the shameless bribe letter. And I'm not going to go into all the details on this. I'm just going to cover them quickly. It uses, stealth mailer, lumpy and bumpy. You've got the headache letter that has a bottle of aspirin in it, again, lumpy and bumpy. You got the lifesaver letter that goes out next. lumpy and bumpy. And then the final one that really blows them away is you send them a basketball, full-size basketball. It's the ball is in your court letter. Very effective. It's going to get them talking about your store in a good way. And this is, by the way, each one of these letters goes out about a week apart. So, you know, a lot of these people are going to come back with letter one, letter two, letter three. By the time they get to letter four, you know, you should have cut down that list quite a bit because a lot of them will have come back. So you're going to send these out, and they're going to open it up, and they're absolutely not going to, they're not going to be able to help talking about you. There's no brochure, there's no, you know, piece of industry literature that can have the emotional and wow factor that basketball letter is going to have. Okay, now the shock and awe is for people who haven't made the decision to buy yet. They've come to your store, left without making a buying decision, or you haven't closed the deal. Once they start to move forward, you take them off the shock and awe, and you put them on the reticular activator campaign. Reticular activator, everybody that's been in the club for a while knows this, that basically what that is, the reticular activator is, it causes you to notice things that you're interested in. For instance, if you're out, if you're shopping for a green Toyota Camry, well, you're going to suddenly start noticing all the other green Toyota Camrys out on the road. Pregnant women tend to notice pregnant women and all that. So that's what's going on. When people have their flooring, get new flooring, again, like I said earlier, it's a big deal. It's a big investment. It's disruptive to their lives in a good way. You can make that disruptive in a good way. But they're thinking about it, constantly thinking about it. So what you're going to be doing is taking advantage of that time to gain referrals. And because they're thinking about it, they're going to be noticing other people in conversations. It's going to come up, oh, yeah, I'm thinking about getting flooring too. Friends, relatives, people in their sphere of influence, church, work, what have you. So you're going to, during that 2 weeks to 2 months, where from the time they decide to move forward till you order the product, get it installed, do the follow-up visit, they're going to get a series of letters. First one is the Here We Go and the Ducks in a Row flyer. A lot of members have a pamphlet or a brochure or something that tells people what to expect and what to do before to prepare for the installation. Those are fine. The Ducks in a Row flyer, I like it because it's one sheet and it says right on there for them to stick it on their fridge. And so whether you send out a brochure, booklet, or anything that has that tells them how to prepare, also send out the Ducks in a Row flyer. The Turbulence letter is next. It's got the balsa wood airplane. I'm not going to go into the whole strategy there. You can read about it in the manual. The Lotto letter, and then the reticular activator letter, and the gift basket at the end. And the gift basket I've recommended is a movie-themed gift basket. It's got, you know, popcorn and a movie rental gift certificate and milk duds and whoppers and chocolate-covered peanuts and all that kind of stuff, like they were going to the movies. But it's so that since they've got brand-new, beautiful flooring, you thought they'd enjoy a night in. So it's on me, and the letter says that, and you can read that. Now, the follow-up visit, I recommend delivering the gift basket during the follow-up visit. And at the follow-up visit, I want to address this for a moment because it's so critical. I recommend that 100% of your residential remodel jobs that you go in and do a follow-up visit. Some people don't do that. and, you know, oh, we're doing so many jobs every month, we don't have time, blah, blah, blah. Well, the point with the follow-up visit is it's not just something you're doing for good customer service. That is certainly true, because not every dealer does follow-up visits on all their jobs, and especially doesn't bring them a gift basket or something nice like that. The big, important thing, the critical part of that follow-up visit is to get two things, referrals and testimonials. And you have in the testimonial and referrals part module of the Rapid Launch, you've got all the forms for doing that. But during that follow-up visit is when you are going to ask for referrals and use that referral request form and follow the scripts, how to ask, and how to identify, you know, if they come up with 10 referrals, they fill out the whole thing, you're going to follow the scripts to identify which of those 10 need flooring right now. So what happens is it turns something that is, could be considered a time consumer, okay, just a good public relations kind of thing, into a profit center. And this is how you need to address it with your sales team. You're going to be using this as part of your referral system. So if you're doing 50, let's say you're doing 50 jobs a month, and you're able to get even 3 referrals on average. Now, I average 5 to 7 referrals, so that's certainly something to shoot for. But let's say you only get 3 on every job, and you're doing 50 jobs a month, that is 150 referrals. Now, out of that, by following the scripts and doing exactly what I tell you in the system, out of that 150, you're going to be able to identify at least 12 to 15 to 18 who need flooring right now, okay? What kind of an increase is that if you're averaging 50 jobs a month and you get even an extra 10? I mean, that's a 20% increase right there for virtually no cost. And so this needs to be explained to your salespeople. The other, let's say, 140 that don't happen to need floor covering right then, of course, get plugged into the Home Advisor newsletter and the whole herd building. And over the next 12 to 24 to 36 months, you're going to farm them for the repeat and referral their business. And these are third-party endorsed referred clients. And that is a list that you absolutely cannot buy commercially, and you have to build it yourself. But now imagine you've, over the course of a year, if you're averaging, say, 140 people a month over the course of 12 months, let me do the math here, that's 1,680 third-party endorsed referred clients in your database that you're marketing to. Now, each and every one of you knows the difference between when somebody walks in your store from a yellow page or a newspaper ad, or they're just a walk-in, versus somebody who was referred to your store. It's a totally different experience. There's less price resistance. In fact, oftentimes there's no price resistance. They're planning to buy from you, you know, come what may. Price isn't even an issue. They trust you already. Like Bob Berg said on the previous call, you know, you're using borrowed trust. So doing that home follow-up visit, I cannot emphasize enough how critical that is, how you need to arrange your system so that those follow-up, in-person follow-up visits get done, and is a huge profit center. Okay, that's pretty much it for the strategies, and what I want to do now is bring Nathan on the line. Nathan, you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, fantastic. Nathan has been using basically almost all of these strategies, and we're going to talk to him about that and some of the results he's been getting. Nathan, what marketing strategies are you currently using from the World Class Installation System?
Well, I've been using the Consumer Awareness Hotlines. I've been doing that also for employees, the referral system, the joint ventures. I need to to find more time. I'm designing more time and getting more employees that way, and giving different employees different jobs. That way I can do the joint ventures correctly.
Okay.
But I've been doing the design audit and the shock and awe.
Okay. You're doing their reticular activator as well, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay. Great. And what kind of results or success stories do you have for the shock and awe campaign?
Well, we never used to have a retention. I like to call the shock and awe, I also call it the retention, prospect retention letters. Because a lot of times what we find out is we'll go out and measure them, and for whatever reason, that sometimes I can get it out of them, sometimes I can't, or the salesperson, they're not ready to buy it.
Okay.
For whatever that reason may be, and those shock and awe letters sometimes will, that some of them, you know, like the headache letter, you know, are they ready to end the headache? A lot of times, you know, that letter has the answer in there, and just having that funny picture, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It pushes them over the edge. Or okay. The basketball I've seen a lot of times bring somebody in that I thought we lost. It just wasn't going to happen. So it retains those prospects is what I found out. And okay. I do really well with it.
You know, Nathan, you said something that's pretty important, and that is for whatever reason they aren't ready to buy yet. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're even shopping around. In fact, many times they won't be. It's that the thought of having this huge thing happen in their lives and in their home is a little bit overwhelming. Have you encountered that sort of where you know they're not shopping around, but they're just kind of sitting on the fence like that, Nathan? Kind of maybe.
I've seen that a lot of times. I've seen times that they were shopping, and I've seen times that they weren't. I had customers come in and they said, "We don't care what the price is, just because the personal service through, you know," and they meant the shock and awe campaign, we're buying.
Okay. So what it does is when I say it knocks fence sitters off the fence is you've got people that are just, for whatever reason, there's that little bit of resistance. They're just needing a little bit of a nudge to move forward. And the shock and awe provides that for them. And, you know, the other thing too, Nathan, is by the way, anyone can go on the website under the member exhibits tab and see Nathan's shock and awe letters. But you look at them and you just got to grin because these are snapshots of you looking like a real human being. They can tell that you've got a sense of humor and you're just a regular guy, and it calms those whatever nervousness or what have you. Have you found that to be the case, Nathan?
Oh yeah. They gain a little trust in those, knowing that, you know, you're just like them. They're just making a living, and you're trying to do whatever you can to help them out to make their purchase that they're trying to make.
Okay. You were telling me that you use the shock and awe to actually gain commercial jobs. Tell us about that.
Everybody goes through the shock and awe program. We just did a job up at through our second store for the courthouse. We sent it out to the guy in charge of the job. Definitely got it.
What size job was that, by the way?
Off the top of my head, I can't. I can look it up.
Okay. Well, that's all right. But you got the job, and this is a government job.
It's a city government, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or county government, I would guess.
Yeah, but the point being is this is not that you're dealing with a government institution,
yeah,
and you use the shock and awe.
Yeah, it was $1,432.80 is what it was.
So over 14,000.
No, 1,400.
Oh, 1,400, okay.
It wasn't a big one, but
okay,
there
right.
are some big ones out there.
Well, I know you told me about an auto dealership that you did, and you sent them the shock and awe.
And they started copying.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, here, I'm just going to punch it in to kind of give you an idea of the sale. I was really excited about it. I'll be honest with you, I didn't think we were going to get it. It was, we also ended up buying a vehicle from them by the time we were done, but it was just under $20,000.
Okay.
And they got the no regrets guarantee now in the newspaper. They're advertising that, and they're copying our advertising is what they're doing. Which, I mean, good for them, and hopefully it works for them.
Yeah.
But they seen something in our marketing that they needed, so they borrowed it.
Okay. And by the way, everyone on the call, this is an I now have a lot of more respect for that auto dealer because whoever's in charge of their marketing, if it's the owner or whatever, has got their antenna up. And you all should have your antenna up when you see something out there that is just brilliant. Borrow it, swipe and deploy. So, at any rate, do they call it the no regrets guarantee?
Yes.
Yep. And so what is that? It's like if you buy the car, you can bring it back within 3 days and exchange it.
Yep. It's for their used cars. You get 3 days.
Okay.
For any reason, no haggling. They put in there. No, it doesn't matter. Bring it back. They give you your money back, and you walk away.
But to get the job, you started sending them the shock and awe letters.
Yes, we send them the shameless bribe. A week later, we sent the headache. We sent out our Walgreens aspirin is what we use.
Okay.
And
so you bought a whole bunch of aspirin, just cheap bottles of aspirin.
Yeah, 99-cent bottles from Walgreens. I found it to be lumpy enough for me because I wanted to have a good lump factor in my package, I guess.
A lump factor. I like that. Yes.
Yeah, I want to, and when you shake it, it sounds like, oh, what's going on? I got to figure this out.
That's true. When you got an actual bottle of aspirin, as they examine the package, they're going to hear things rattling around in there. So, okay, so then, so you send them the aspirin, then what happened?
We actually continued through the whole thing. It's when they got the basketballs that week they called.
Okay.
Yeah, and I really honestly didn't think we were going to get the job. I know I was priced way over our competition, and we got it.
Okay. And you've had, I know back, not too far back, you had some like jobs in excess of $10,000 where it came, these were residential remodels, where they had got all the way to the basketball before coming in.
Yes, yeah, we see some of those. I'd rather not get to the basketballs because to me, when I send a basketball, that's like my goodbye.
Uh-huh.
I possibly lost this job.
Okay.
But it feels really good once you get someone coming back saying, you know, you sent me that basketball, that's funny. And, you know, when they come back in, you know they're going to buy.
Yeah, yeah. So good job on that. Now, You mentioned that your close cell batting average has gone up since implementing the shock and awe. So tell us about that.
Well, I got some bad news and some good news. My bad news is I'm not at this time as good as I should be at tracking some of my stuff.
Okay.
But the good news is there is an automatic tracking system within the Home Advisor. It's your referrals,
yep,
your new customers,
mm-hmm,
and we look at them. They're about 50-50.
Okay.
We've never had that many return customers.
Okay.
I mean, we've had return customers, but not on that size. You know, so 50%.
50% of?
It's always new customers. Or, I mean, not new, but referrals.
I see. 50% of your overall business?
I guess I said that wrong. My 50% is repeat customers.
Okay.
And then everybody that comes in is a referral of some kind.
Okay.
You know, you did job for Mrs. Sanders or Mrs. Jones said this, or I heard from this person, even though we might not have done the job, you know, that sphere of influence.
Yes.
Seems like everybody we talk to, very few of them say ads. Well, because we're not doing any.
Yeah, you've cut out all your mass media.
With the exception of some billboards, which I'd like to talk to you about.
Okay, all right, we can certainly do that. Now, here's the thing that Nathan said that's key, and I hope you all heard this, is he's getting all these referrals coming in. He has no idea where they're coming from, other than let me say this correctly. You never know when you begin to create this culture of referrals, which Nathan has spent the last few months doing. Nathan, you've only been in for a few months, so this isn't like something you've been doing for 5 years to get these results. You've only been in a few months.
About 6 months, I think.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but what's happening is all the pieces that Nathan is sending out, everything talks about any friend of yours is a friend of mine. We love your referrals. We have a referral reward program. The newsletters talk about it. All the pieces talk about it. The reticular activator talks about it. Everything talks about it. The referral, the pink referral request forms, Nathan also sends those out as part of the reticular activator. All those things, when we talk about planting the referral seeds, you're not always with these referral strategies gonna, it's not like a direct response piece where you put out a special and immediately get calls. It doesn't really work quite like that. You begin to put out this, create this culture of referrals, and pretty soon you've got them coming in from every which direction, directions you wouldn't have even thought of before, and that's what Nathan has created and is creating. So, what have the clients have had to say to you, Nathan, about the Shock and Awe? What kind of feedback have you been getting?
Oh, they love it. It's funny. I think they're just as excited as I am.
Any negative?
Yes, we've had, and this is at our second store. It's a different, you know, within the 50 miles, there's a totally different, I guess, quality of people or difference of people on how we live. It's, we get a lot of, they must have been marketed pretty hard by some people because sometimes they'll bring back our aspirin and our basketballs and stuff.
Okay, but you're doing, between the two stores, how many jobs a month? And this is the point I want to get to. Ballpark.
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
We're doing way more than I'd have to count them.
Okay. Would you say it's like 40?
Oh, more than that. Yeah, at minimum 40.
Okay, so yeah. Maybe 50 or 60 jobs a month.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Okay. So you're doing 50 or 60 jobs a month. How many, and you've been doing it for 6 months, so you do the math. If you're doing 50 jobs a month times 6 months, you're at 300 plus jobs. How many total complaints have you had?
Last week we had a weird week. Sometimes, you know, good things come in a row and so is bad things. Last week we had some, and that was because I failed to do the checklist.
Okay.
When we go out and do the measures.
Yeah.
Which we're doing now. I got that implemented because you only got to hit me once and I learn.
Okay.
And just some confusion from customers, like who's pulling the toilet.
What I meant was complaints about the Shock and Awe out of the 300.
No. Just a hand. It's not even a handful, really.
Okay. That's the point I'm getting at. So in the 6 months you've been doing, you've done 300, 350 jobs, maybe more, and you've gotten fewer than 10, would you say, people that are a little annoyed with it?
I would say 5 or less.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the point I was trying to get to. The number is it's so minuscule compared to the amount of money you're going to make and all the goodwill that you're getting. I've had some people wonder, hey, is it too over the top? We go after high-end clients, and is this the kind of thing that we should be doing with high-end clients? Nathan, you do a lot of high-end clients. What's your thought on that?
I was trying to figure out where I got off on your last question.
That's okay.
What was the question again?
Some folks have, with the Shock and Awe, they have concerns about, we have a lot of high-end type of clients, mm-hmm. Big jobs.
Oh,
that are
I would do it anyway. That's what they get a kick at. That's what they're expecting, I think.
Okay.
I know, as myself, I would consider myself maybe higher medium client.
Okay.
Maybe not a high-end, but, when I go out to buy things, I don't look at price. I look at, price is a factor of some kind, but I look for the quality in it, and if someone would send me a Shock and Awe letter, oh boy.
Okay.
Yeah, I would eat it up. I would buy instantly.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So that's the point to take home, is this stuff, Nathan, you've done government job, at least one government job, you've done all your commercial jobs now, all your clients, including your high-end clients, and it's really working out well for you.
Oh, yeah, I definitely, that's something everybody needs to do.
Okay. You're also doing the reticular activator strategy, so what kind of results are you having with that?
Well, that's where we were talking about that spear influence, and where we were just getting things from wherever, and some of them we don't know. It wasn't an actual client. It was somebody that heard from somebody that heard from somebody.
Okay.
I think that's where that kicks in. When you send out those RA letters and people start telling everybody, we're getting carpet from this person, and then they say, well, I heard about him, and it definitely works. I think that's explaining. That explains that spear of influence. Where we couldn't track where everything, you know, who'd this actually start with.
Yes. The thing to keep in mind is that, okay, let's say you're going out and you're doing the referral request forms, and you should be doing those on every job. You should try and get your averages on those up, you know, to 5 to 7 per job, but even if you just get 1 or 2, you're still doing great. But even if you don't get a ton of results from that, you're planting those seeds, like Nathan is saying, where pretty soon you're getting just referrals from all these different sources that you just couldn't imagine. I've had clients flat out refuse to fill out the referral request form. A lot of them are going to do that. Some will fill out all 10 names. I've actually had them attach extra sheets and, like, practically empty their Rolodex onto the, give me 20 or 30 names before. You'll get those kind of clients, you'll get people who refuse to give you any, and you'll get people in between. But the people that have refused sometimes turn out to be my best referral sources. I remember one lady, she just said, I don't want to give out the names. She wound up being one of my biggest champions. I got so many referrals from her. But I know that by taking that sheet and presenting it to her, you're telling them, I want referrals, I value your referrals, we reward you for our referrals. So whether or not they actually fill the thing out is in a way irrelevant, because you've just planted those seeds. Nobody is going to ask them for referrals like that. So yes, you should increase, you know, if you're not getting enough of those things filled out, you should figure out what's going wrong, do some troubleshooting, because I know you can get them filled out. But the point is, even if they don't, if you need to get someone who doesn't, it doesn't matter. Okay, Nathan, you're also using the design audit. So tell us about that, what kind of results you're getting.
That is something that we just started using.
Okay.
We got things printed out, and now we found out it's easier just to have it on our desktop, so when a customer comes in, print it off, and get with them on it. So start doing the design audit. It definitely gives you questions to help break the ice.
Okay.
And like I said, we're just implementing it.
Okay, you're just getting started with it.
I can't really give you a true, this is the best thing ever. You know what I mean?
Yep, sure can.
So, but, yeah, we are working on it, and I know it's going to work just as well as everything else.
Yeah. Well, the way you've done so well at implementation, I know you're going to, within 30 days, next time we talk, you're going to have some great successes with it.
My sales staff out here is telling me to tell you thank you for explaining things on the phone today about it.
Oh, regarding the design audit.
Yeah, my wife says, tell him thank you.
Okay, all right. Very good, very good. They're very welcome. Let's shift gears for a minute and talk about the strategy you developed. It's not really part of the world-class installation system, but it's something new that Nathan's been testing. It's called the credit letter strategy. Nathan, explain how that works.
Well, what I took is, from your recommendations, I took it from one of the inserts from the Home Advisor.
Okay.
I placed my picture in there, and I put on there, if you need new floors right away, this deal is a real lifesaver. And then we put in their available credit, and you're probably wondering, how do I get their credit? We use Mohawk Financing, which is through GE. And GE Money they give you some marketing tools online. You log in, and what they do is they give you a list of your best customers, which are the ones that have a credit rating with you already or have a card from you, and they tell you what's available on that card. what we do is we...
Now explain the card. A lot of people might know, but explain how that credit card works.
Well, it's a credit card that allows them to defer payments and interest. We used to do the 1 year no payment, no interest all the time when we first opened. Now we're finding we can get higher margins and, be able to make a better sale on a 2 year no payment, no interest. So that's all we offer now. I mean, we'll offer the others if they wish, but everybody wants the 2 years.
Okay.
And what happens is that information is collected by that credit card company, and they will send us back those people that still continue to have that card with, I believe that they, after 2 years, if it's not current, if they don't use it, they drop them off the list.
Okay.
But long as they continue to use it, we continue to get their name back and what their limit is, how much they can spend.
So if somebody, for instance, let's walk them through it. They get a $20,000 card.
Mm-hmm.
It has Mohawk's name on it. And it has your store name on it, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And they can only use that card at your store?
That's correct.
Okay. So let's say they get a $20,000 credit line and they spend 15 of it. Mohawk or GE will send you...
an Excel sheet with their name, address, phone number, and hey... Mrs. Jones still has $5,000 to spend.
There we go. Okay.
Yep.
So then you send out what you do. I've got the letter right in front of me. You, right below where you got, it's, I love what you've done. You've put a little cartoon bubble next to you, so it's like you're talking to them like a comic. And it says, if you need new floors right away, this deal is a real lifesaver. And then right under it, you put available credit, $5,000, and you typed it in red so it really stands out.
Yes.
Love it. And then you took one of the inserts from the newsletter and basically just tweaked it to fit this campaign.
That's correct.
Okay.
And we put our testimonials in there.
Okay, yep.
Our finance drop card, which, do they really need it? It says it once, but it doesn't hurt to say it twice.
Okay.
And then
so you also include the drop card in there, the zero down.
Of course.
Okay.
And it's orange.
Okay.
The color paper it's on is orange, and then we have our...
And you use the card stock?
No, it's just like normal piece of paper.
Okay, 20-pound,
yeah.
Regular...
Okay,
yeah, all right.
And we do four per piece of paper.
Okay, yep.
And then we have our referral, our how to give your friends and relatives a free gift and get a night out at the movies, my treat. And it lists all our referred customers that refer. And on the back, it gives them an opportunity to fill something out. And we get quite a bit of those back.
So you actually get people mailing those back to you?
Yes, and I don't put a letter in there with a stamp. I know we've talked about that, but as of now, we haven't started doing that yet.
Okay.
And they come back like crazy.
All right. So the elements of this campaign are, let's walk through it. You get the list of people who have some available credit.
Mm-hmm.
You print out the letter. Like this one says, Dear Melissa.
And she has $5,000.
And she has $5,000 in red. And then inside the envelope behind that letter, you also put a zero down financing drop card. And also behind the letter, you put one of the referral request forms that talks about getting a night out at the movies.
As well as a customer testimonial.
Oh, you actually put a separate sheet of customer testimonials?
Yeah, maybe they haven't got to see the new updated ones.
Okay.
You know, maybe their buddy's on there, or their mom, or their dad, or who knows, you know, and everybody wants to kind of see what everybody's saying about who, and, you know.
Okay. So, Nathan's put a lot of very critical elements in there, and I'm gonna go through those elements in just a minute. But what kind of results have you gotten with this?
I was just going over that way. I could be prepared to give that answer, and what I'm seeing is on average about three jobs. Sometimes they end up being. I know one of them was a hard surface cleaning. Okay. We got permit. They did a laminate flooring, and then we ended up going and doing their tile from sending out this letter.
Okay.
Another one was a carpet job. So yeah, I would say about three out of, and we have a list of 200. That's all we have right now. And we probably would have had a bigger list if we would have been doing this earlier.
Okay.
But they, like I said, after a year or 2 years, I don't know what their qualifications there at GE are, but if they don't use it within a certain limit of time, they drop off the list.
Okay, so you're sending out to a list of 200. What is the cost to mail to that, $200, $300?
It's 42 cents for the postage. We print the letter in-house, being a small quantity.
Sure.
And then in our free time, we write up the envelopes, you know, with the, since it's so small. And I really don't know what the printing would cost, but I can't see it costing 10 cents. Could you, Jim?
Yeah, I would say, based on what you're telling me, the whole thing is less than a buck.
Less than a dollar.
Certainly under a dollar. So let's just call it a dollar a piece.
Yeah, and $200, and I'm getting my money back easy.
Easy.
I'm making money.
Yeah, you're getting three jobs out of it, and I won't go make you dig up those numbers. But the point is, and you also... it doesn't matter if they have 10,000 available credit or 100 bucks. You don't care about the amount. You send it out anyway?
Yep.
Okay. Because even if they've only got 100 bucks, well, they figure, huh, I got this 100 bucks available, and they come in and they spend, you know, 1,500. That's the idea.
And if they don't spend, there's our referral again. We're working our referrals. We're showing them our testimonials. We're putting it in their head for next month.
Yep.
So.
And so you're not even including, if you were able to go back and trace it, you're not even including the...
The one day I'll be tracking this stuff really good.
I understand.
I'm trying to implement so much, I just have not been able to
I know.
Do all the things I'd like to be doing.
Oh, I know. Hey, progress, not perfection, okay? You're doing great. And the thing to keep in mind, Nathan, is that we've just been talking about the direct response from the offer of the available credit. We haven't even scratched the surface on all the referrals that's generated and the referrals that those referrals have generated. So, you know, I'm not going to make you go dig that up right now, but the point is this is actually way more profitable than even the three jobs that you're getting. So... what we're going to do is by tomorrow, we're going to have Nathan's entire credit letter strategy on the website for everybody to download. So we'll have that up for you. Nathan's been gracious enough to share it with the club. And we'll have the whole thing, the drop card, everything, so you guys can download it. What I want to do now, Nathan, is open it up for Q&A. Anybody have... Let me unmute this here. Okay, if anybody has any questions for either me or Nathan about the credit letter strategy or any part of the world-class installation system marketing, let's just go ahead and open it up. Any questions?
He must have done that.
Say that again?
Jim.
Yes.
Hi, John Pate, Pittsburgh.
Hey.
I'm sorry, I was about 12, 13 minutes late.
That's all right.
Getting on the call.
Okay.
Bear with me, I got a cold.
Okay.
Did you go over most of your world-class installation on maybe the first 10, 12 minutes I missed?
What we've done is there's actually two parts to it. There's the module 5 is the world-class installation system, the systems, and module 6 is the marketing. And today we've covered the marketing, so we didn't even go into the, you know, checklists of all the little items that get done. You can review in the original rapid launch that you got is your curriculum. I go into great detail on that. And then towards the end of the, in November, we're going to send out all the recordings of Rapid Launch 2008, so you'll be able to review that one as well.
Good deal.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, going once?
Yeah, I have one more question.
Oh, sure, you betcha.
You know, I was sitting there, I'm sick right now, right? But, you know, I got a cholesterol. The doctor always hands me out stuff. It's written for him on do this, don't do that, diet, and this. And basically, it's a how to keep yourself healthy checklist.
Sure.
Well, you say the doctor doesn't do that. The doctor does that all the time.
Oh, you mean he writes out for you?
No, he doesn't write out. It's a printed out. Here's a list. You know, like, you know, watch your cholesterol. Keep your, you know, eat more fish. Eat less this. This is the good cholesterol. That's the bad cholesterol. And they just give you a checklist of stuff that tells you how to stay healthy. What, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
but
know,
if you
got
write
high blood
you a,
pressure and all that, they do that all the time.
Sure, they have their informational brochures, but when they write you that prescription, he doesn't hand you a pre-printed prescription. He writes it out.
Oh no, yeah, the prescription he does, but
yeah.
everything else they hand you all kind of literature. You know, I thought you meant like for cleaning instructions. Don't give them pre-printed stuff. I think we do that now, and you know nobody else does do that.
No, I've seen a lot of dealers hand them pre-printed. The maintenance plan. It's not bad, certainly better than not handing them anything, but when you write it out, customize it for their unique situation, it positions you, first of all, as that trusted advisor, like you've analyzed their situation and you've said, okay, here's what we want you to do to maintain it, to get the most life out of it, because you've got two dogs, a parakeet, three kids, your mother-in-law lives with you, here's what you need to do to maintain it. Now, if on top of that you want to hand them the kind of general literature, there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm saying don't, having that, writing it out for them creates an experience that they're never going to get from another dealer. It's a big wow factor, and it creates that positioning as the trusted advisor. Next week is the next call. You'll be getting a reminder notice, and we will talk to you all then. Till then, happy marketing.